The idea of self-love has become very popular in the time since the two COVID lockdowns. It has grown into a movement, channeling the idea of putting yourself and your own needs first, whatever the situation. Social media is rife with the message of self-love. Its influence washes daily over our teenagers and young adults. The self-love movement sells itself as being encouraging, empowering, and inspiring. But it's also toxic, hypocritical, and extreme. The rise of social media in the last few years has prompted new levels of mass comparison. Beauty standards have been heightened, standards of perfection have become the norm, and what was once raw and real is now the before stage of a dramatic makeover. While I'm not against a movement that teaches to take care of ourselves, it's the hidden hypocrisy and consequences of this that people don't always realise. One of the biggest messages of the self-love movement preaches is be gentle with ourselves. It is a pillar of this movement to practice self-compassion. Forgive ourselves for our mistakes. Be gentle with ourselves during our lowest times. And practice patience with ourselves. Have you noticed some repetition here? Self, self, self. There are many social media posts now that encourage people to cut out anyone or anything negative, to be mindful of where they invest their energy, and to completely remove anything that drains it. In order to become better and improve the quality of your life, you have to essentially cut out anyone whose presence feels even remotely stressful, and when you don't feel reciprocated in the relationship. The self-love movement uses phrases like, be yourself boldly and let the world deal with it. Stop apologizing, just be you. Celebrate your faults and failures. Brokenness is beautiful. You might even have heard these phrases in churches. But as Christians, we can challenge this rhetoric through looking at scripture. Today's culture has become all about the self, how to love self, how to make life easy for self, how to say no to others so you can take care of self. But this is not what the Bible tells us. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37, the Bible tells us, the greatest commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then it tells us, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Has this passage been misconstrued today to say that in order to love your neighbor, you must love yourself? The command comes before it. It's there for a reason. In order to love your neighbor as yourself, you must love God and thus have his love living inside you to then love others with the love that he has loved you with. But Christianity isn't about esteeming self. It's about denying self and esteeming Christ.
When you are forgotten, neglected, or purposely ignored, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult of the oversight, but your heart is happy, being counted worthy to suffer for Christ. That is dying to self. When your good is spoken of as evil, your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinion ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence. That is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder and irregularity or any annoyance, when you stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and to endure it as Jesus endured, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any climate, any society, any clothing, and any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation, or to record your own good works, or itch after praise, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met, and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God, while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self.
This poem should make you ask yourself, am I dead yet? And when I ask myself that question, I have to say the answer is no. I'm not dead to self. Yet. But I know I have the means within me to keep striving for it. But no human being could do this without the indwelling Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit's ability to bring about that necessary change in our naturally selfish and egotistical nature is what's needed. Elizabeth Elliot, who sounds like she should be in a Jane Austen novel, was an author and missionary and said, "The world looks for happiness through self-assertion. The Christian knows that joy is found in self-abandonment. If a man will let himself be lost for my sake," Jesus said, "he will find his true self." The tendency to live all about the self is just so tempting. We gravitate towards it because we have hopes, we have dreams, we have aspirations and goals, we have plans for the future. It has been ingrained in us to strive to do our best in order to be as successful as we can be in this life. And none of this is bad at first glance. However, it does start to sound eerily like storing up treasures on this earth. But treasures here will fade away. They'll be left behind. We need to refocus our minds on things above. Seek his kingdom first. Store up our treasure in heaven. We are all precious to God. He loves and values every single person so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us while we were still sinners. He created us in his image, so we have great worth and are called beloved by him. Our value in God's eyes has nothing to do with our career title, our accomplishments in life, ourselves. Our value comes from being created in his image. It is the calling of a Christian to choose humility over self-promotion. In the Bible, the Gospel of John shows us the great humility that Jesus had. Jesus took a towel at the Last Supper and washed the feet of the disciples. He took a towel. The Lord of glory took a towel. Is it our business to say which work is large and which is small, which is unimportant and which is worth doing? Today, our equivalent to washing the disciples' feet might be something unthinkable to us, or it might just be something that seems a bit silly or doesn't matter, but Christ is calling us to a greater level of humility, one that crucifies self and elevates Christ in our lives. Christ called us to this life of self-sacrifice, of genuine, godly love for each other, so much so that we esteem others higher than ourselves. When we become Christians, it's not about our heart's desire anymore. We're not here to live for ourselves anymore. We have exchanged our life for His. We are washed clean. We are filled with His Holy Spirit. And now we have surrendered our lives for Him so that Christ may love in us. We saw the social media images earlier. It's so popular today to celebrate our brokenness, to show we are real and genuine. But rather than boasting in our brokenness, as Christians, we are to boast in the finished work of the cross. Boast in all He has done for us. He has made us clean. He has made us whole. He has made us complete in Him. Shining a light on our own brokenness dishonors God because it doesn't accept the restoration that He offers. Christina Rossetti, an English poet and hymn writer, said, "How beautiful are the arms which have embraced Christ, the eyes which have gazed upon Christ, the lips which have spoken with Christ, the feet which have followed Christ. How beautiful are the hands which have worked the works of Christ, the feet which are treading in His footsteps have gone about doing good, the lips which have spread abroad His name, the lives which have been counted for Him." I'll leave you now with a quote from the Reverend Major Ian Thomas. "Unless you are prepared to let go of what you are, you'll never become what God intended you to be."